When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to this edition of Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. We have a fun one for you because if you have listened to any of our shows, you kind of know that I'm a little bit of a geek, a little bit of a sci-fi nerd, and I fully own that, wear that proudly on my sleeve, and luckily, I know someone else who is as well. Joining Keep Watch Pass for the first time is Greg from Movie Date Night. Greg, how you doing, man?
I am doing fantastic. In fact, I'm feeling out of this world. Hey!
I'm still surprised you came back after the last Grading on a Curve episode.
Well, I had to do something fun after that because, as we said on there, bleep you, Jason.
The beeps came in handy. Let's put it that way.
I told you to get it ready and you were ready.
So. We were definitely ready. I am ready for this one though, because you pitched a fun topic. So we are talking about alien invasion movies. Now, Greg, before we actually recorded this episode, laid some ground rules down. So Greg, you want to drop the rules and let them know what they're going to be dealing with?
Because I was afraid just saying alien invasion might have been too broad. And if you look up a lot of lists for alien invasion stuff, it has things where, okay, on paper, you could say aliens and there was an invasion, but like, that's not the focus of the movie. That's not really what it was. So I gave it three rules we had to follow for this list. So I'm actually trying to box you in a little bit here. And I have a movie specifically I'm going to cite for each one of these rules for why I said this rule. Number one, aliens must be invading Earth, not the other way around. Example, Starship Troopers. That's actually on a lot of alien invasion lists, but aliens don't really invade Earth. Yes, they make one good swipe at Earth, wipe off, I think it was Buenos Aires.
It was Buenos Aires.
It's not really aliens invading. It's more just a war with aliens. So I didn't want that. I want aliens coming down and like being among us on our own turf. Number two, I said, the invasion must be the central premise. I don't want it to be some B plot, some afterthought or anything like that. So now spoilers for the movie 10 Cloverfield Lane. But in that movie, an alien invasion takes place. But the main premise, the reason I bought my ticket is to see a girl get kidnapped by a guy and taken to his bunker. That's the really the main deal, the main meat and potatoes of that movie. The alien invasion is like the behind the scenes after show kind of deal. Number three, the majority of the aliens have to be working against the human race. Technically speaking, Transformers is an alien invasion film, but that's a 50-50. They just chose Earth to be their battleground. I want to be us versus them. You can maybe have a turncoat amongst the aliens. That's fine. Maybe a small pocket that's joining humans, but I want it mostly to be us versus them. And that's what I feel is like the flavor of alien invasion that I'm looking for.
Yeah, Transformers, they didn't really invade Earth. They just kind of fought each other, and Earth was kind of where they ended up. So completely agree with that. And here's what's going to happen with this episode. Greg and I are both about to pick three movies with these three rules in mind. A keep, a watch, a pass. Now, the keep movie is one that we would put on pretty much any time and probably use as a way to, you know, show this to the aliens and say, maybe you don't want to do this. The watch film is one that, if it's on, even if it's on network TV, will survive through the commercials. And the pass is one that we wouldn't even pick it as the seventh movie in a 7 movies for 7 days Blockbuster rental. I miss Blockbuster. I so miss Blockbuster. But Greg, you came up with the topic. You came up with the guidelines. So you get to drop your keep movie first.
Oh, my keep movie first. Okay. I will say I had like four separate complete lists for this. So it was hard for me to choose. Maybe at the end, we'll quickly go over a few of my other ones. But to me, I feel like one of my favorite alien invasion films, and I know it's a guilty pleasure one, I know it's maybe not the top of most people's lists, but They Live is so good. And I could take that film just for the alley fight scene between Rowdy Roddy and Keith David. Just when they're beating the crap out of each other, put the glasses on. No! And they just for 10 minutes just beat the hell out of each other. So good.
There was something about the 80s where sunglasses were the everything. Wasn't it Dream a Little Dream 2, I think, that had like the whole put the sunglasses on and exactly. I can't really argue with that pick because it's also my keep pick as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I mean, this movie it's so 80s. The line of I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum and I am all out of bubble gum. Mm-hmm. But it is really, really, it's a lot smarter than people would give a movie starring Rowdy Roddy Piper credit for. Normally you see him on the credits. It's like, okay, cool. Hell Comes to Frogtown. Yay. Here we go. But no, this movie is much smarter than the cover would have you think.
And don't let the somewhat cheesy 80s special effects for how the aliens like throw you off. Like, yeah, maybe it's not the best looking. Maybe it's what you would call dated at this point. But the film itself is so interesting, especially when you take a look at it from the view of subliminal messaging and advertising and like how this kind of like blatantly shows that like everybody's got a message they're trying to shove down your throat. And it's just, are you smart enough to be able to see it? You know, and the kind of messaging it has for that.
I mean, the other thing too is that this film, yes, is the makeup on the aliens a little bit on the dated side? Yeah, sure. I'll give you that. But everything else in the film, the fact that, you know, as soon as you put the glasses on, everything is in black and white. It's almost like they're really kind of adding a style to the reality of everything that should be. It made you forget how dated the makeup is. And I mean, like, I've actually seen documentaries on this movie where it talks about the social commentary that this film actually is.
It's amazing. Yeah. So that's why it had to be my number one. I mean, granted, like I said, there's a couple of the close contenders, but when I would like really search my heart and soul, I'm like, They Live has to be it. If I have it, unfortunately, as one of those, well, not unfortunately, but I have it as one of those four pack DVDs where it's like that movie on its own, plus like three other ones on like, you know, the double sided like silver disc and stuff. And like, I could throw out all those other movies as long as I had They Live. If something happens to that DVD case, I am going to buy They Live again.
For the record, too, I mean, Rowdy Roddy Piper aside, Keith David has to be...
Keith David. He's like a staple in your childhood. You don't even know it. He's been in everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I freaking love his voiceover work when he does documentary work. He did a documentary called Comic Book Superheroes Unmasked, and you can actually find it on YouTube. It is a phenomenal comic book documentary. Keith David is the narrator. Find it. You'll love it. Even shows that had no business being as good as they were. I'm specifically thinking about The Cape. I don't know if you remember that show.
I don't remember that show, but I know Gargoyles was also a show that shouldn't have been as good as it was, but it sure as hell swung for the fences.
Oh, Gargoyles was so freaking good. And there is a property that needs to have a live action CGI remake, and they need to do it while Keith David can still do the voiceover work.
I agree.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Now, since you picked my Keaton movie, the ball comes to me for my watch film. I'm now curious to see if we're going to match up on the rest of these.
Oh, films. I guarantee you we're not, because I went pretty niche with my other two.
Well, my watch film is Battle Los Angeles.
Okay.
Speaking of films that have no leg to stand on and being as good as they are. Now, not as good enough as They Live to be a Keep film, but Battle Los Angeles is a lot better than you would expect. I remember seeing the trailer for this, and my first thought in my head was, this is going to be a Michael Bay boomathon. It's not. It's a lot more neighborhood to neighborhood, a very almost gritty, guerrilla, realistic look at what an alien invasion in Los Angeles would look like. I am surprised at how good this film was.
I've only seen it once myself, but I do have fond memories of it as well. Yeah, so I think that is a good pick from my recollections of it. I wouldn't have anything negative to say about it.
I mean, the other thing I'll give this movie as well is that it doesn't fall into the rah-rah America military porn. Again, Michael Bay. Everything that basically Michael Bay is, this film could have been, and it wasn't. And I'm sure that probably affected the box office and people going to it, because it's like, oh yeah, well, it's not Transformers, which is really kind of what people were probably expecting.
Yeah.
It's better than that. It's that whole guerrilla realism, like fighting amongst the, what was the movie? I think it was like 1917, I think the movie was. It basically took place in World War One or World War Two. I can't remember, but the whole film was made to look like it was filmed on one camera.
And oh, yeah. The Messenger, I think it was called.
Yes. There were moments in this film that felt like Battle of Los Angeles, but just in a much more dated era.
It's interesting to see how people can do kind of the same thing with their own spin on it. Because, like, you know, Los Angeles has always been a easy canvas for some big disaster, some big invasion thing. In fact, it's also the background for possibly one of my picks that's coming up. But it's always interesting, like I said, to see how a director takes that canvas and what they do with the story on top of it.
Probably having the director like Jonathan Liebsman took away from the potential of Michael Bayness for this film. So full kudos. Plus, I mean, like Aaron Eckhart, Michelle Rodriguez, Bridget Monaghan, like you have a stellar cast in this. Absolutely stellar cast. But now that that's my watch film, what falls into your watch category?
My watch is a relatively recent one that came out. And I know some people might say, oh, recency bias, but I actually think if you look at the film deeper, it's got a lot more going on. So I wonder if you've even seen Jason. It was a Hulu original, and it's called No One Will Save You.
Ooh, no, I haven't seen this one yet.
So let me give you the premise for it. No One Will Save You is follows this woman who is living on her own in like this three-story level house, like a big house she inherited from her family, you know, and her nearest neighbors are going to be like a 5 to 10 minute walk away. It's like, I don't know the exact part of the country, but it's like, you know, like not in a big city, kind of like more rural kind of area, you know, and she gets invaded by an alien, like a tall gray is in her home, and she, by freak chance, happens to kill it. And so she goes to town to try to talk to people. But the problem with this movie, and or not the problem with the movie, the problem with her is that she has crippling social anxiety. So she can't. So whenever she goes to talk to someone, she gets all this paranoia and fear over her, and she can't get the words out. She's literally at the cop station and she can't say anything. And there's also this backstory that I won't spoil, but it's really emotional and really well delivered. And the breadcrumbs they give you along the way to discover this emotional thread is just so poetic. But what's amazing about this film is the emotions this actress portrays on the screen. In the entire film, she doesn't say a single word, as far as I can remember. It is an almost 100% silent performance. She does a few guts and grunts, but like, it is almost completely silent just because of crippling social anxiety.
Okay, you've sold me. I need to watch this. And I think the interesting thing too is that when you have a movie like that, that focuses more on the person, the individual, as opposed to the epicness of the situation. And I think that's why 10 Cloverfield Lane, had you not put those rules in, would have probably been on a lot of people's lists if they're playing along with the game here, because it was so good and John Goodman had such a very, very creepy role. I love when you have smaller stories in bigger events, and that's when you get a really, really great story.
Yeah. And let me also just say, in this movie, the aliens don't just leave it at one. So don't think like she kills the alien is like, oh, that doesn't really qualify. No, they're like, oh, Jim's dead? Send in Bruce. Yeah. So, like, it is very crazy, very creepy. And considering that for me, like, I think everybody has like at least one irrational fear, and one of mine is aliens. So like, it's weird that I'm so fascinated by them when I'm also so like scared of the idea of it happening to me personally. But like, watching this movie, this was more terrifying for me than like any gore fest film I've ever seen. Like, just talking about it now, it's kind of giving me the heebie-jeebies, but I kind of love it. So yeah, definitely highly recommend this film. It's on my watch, because if I had this on my shelf, I might have to like face it, turn it, start facing the corner so I can't see it. You know,
I think there is a correlation between things that people are afraid of, and then those people then going to watch fictional takes about the things that they have fears of. I mean, there's a reason why disaster movies are a thing. There's a reason why a movie like Arachnophobia exists, right? Like,
oh, Arachnophobia is so great. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's ways for us to safely explore these spaces without massive risk of consequence.
It's almost a very, very low level immersion therapy, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So, but definitely, last time I checked, it was on Hulu streaming, because I believe it's a Hulu original, but No One Will Save You.
I'm curious if that's on Disney Plus up here, because of course up here in Canada, we don't have Hulu. So,
oh my God, if I can find this on, I'm checking my phone right now. I'm sorry. I know this is like rude, but I have to see, can I find this movie through Disney?
Because they also have, at least with Disney Plus in Canada, they have the Star section of Disney Plus. So it's possible that Hulu things have popped up there. Cause of course,
It is.
There you go. There you go. So, if you're in Canada, you're going to have to find your way to watch this film.
Yeah, go sign on to Disney and watch No One Will Save You.
Well, I mean, Disney Plus just dropped the fact that they're streaming Poor Things now. So pretty much I think anything is a go on Disney Plus at this point.
Oh my God. Okay, that just made my weekend, and it's just starting. We're recording this Friday night, and I'm so jazzed for the rest of the week.
All right, it's now come time for our past films. So, Greg, of alien invasion films, following the three rules that you have set out, What is your pass film?
My pass film, and I think this might surprise some people who know me and like the actors that I like, Cowboys and Aliens. I like Western films. I clearly like alien invasion films. I did not care for this film. It's got Daniel Craig, the current James Bond, in it. It's got Harrison Ford in it. It's got Olivia Wilde in it. And it's like all these things I love. And it added up to just a snore fest for me. I saw it in theaters. And then when I left, I'm like, I have no idea what just happened. Like that. I get the fact that like it's a cool premise of like guy wakes up with a thing on his wrist and he can essentially Iron Man like one-handed like do stuff, but I still don't know what the rest of the plot is. It just bored me to tears and I don't know why. I can't put my finger on the button for why this doesn't work for me, but for some reason Cowboys and Aliens is just super forgettable and I couldn't care less.
I mean, if you take a look at everyone involved, and you mentioned Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford, Olivia Wilde, throw in Sam Rockwell and Paul Dano, directed by Jon Favreau, written by Robert Orci and Alex Kurtzman, produced by Brian Grazer and Ron Howard, like everything was there to make this film work, and it didn't. And it baffles me because I have not actually watched this film all the way through. I've seen little bits here and there. It's always piqued my interest, and I'm sure somewhere down the road we're going to be covering this film on It's Not That Bad. It's just, it's one of those things where it's just, sometimes a movie just for some reason falls by the wayside despite the fact that it interests you.
I like to think that movies have, for lack of a better word, like a soul. You know, for the most part, like a thing that like, here's the reason why I connect with this so much and why I love it. I find this to be the redheaded stepchild of all alien invasion movies. It has no soul.
You do realize it has a 44%. There is a possibility that this movie is going to get brought up on It's Not That Bad.
And if it does, then I will come on as the first guest to say, no, it is that bad. Let's talk about why it's bad.
I mean, at 44%, I mean, it's not the worst film we've talked about.
No, it's not. But it's not that I can't stand it. It's just like, it's one of those films when if I watch it, I'm like, God, how long has it been? It's been 5 minutes. It's been six minutes.
Curse the one that invented time at that point. Yeah. All right. So my pass film, and I'm passing this one hard, is the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds film.
Yep. That was my second choice for the pass. Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's not about the actual story of War of the Worlds. And I want to give this movie some credit where credit is due. The look of the tripods and the almost the ambiance of the film, I think worked. I think they got a good tenor for the fear induced from the tripods, from the aliens. However, running and screaming for about 2 hours. Like, I don't want to blame Dakota Fanning for anything, but holy crap, that screaming for 2 hours was just way too much. And then, of course, we know the end of War of the Worlds. By the way, there's enough versions of War of the Worlds. If you don't know that story at this point, you're on your own. You know, so basically it's the microbes from humanity and from Earth that end up killing the aliens and stopping the invasion at that point in time. But the ships were already here, and which means that the aliens were already here. You would think that they would know that it's the same thing's going to happen again.
That's right. I never thought of that.
Like,
oh my God.
It basically takes out the surprise of the fact that, yeah, you're going to fail again. Because if you left your ships here, because that's the thing. Like, all of a sudden, this light comes down from the sky. Oh, hey, Skybeam, by the way. You know, light comes down from the sky, which is basically the aliens going back down to the tripods. You know, the tripods come up from the ground. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, now we run for the hills. By the by, the movie starts in Brooklyn. There are things built into the ground in Brooklyn? Like, oh, I don't know, a subway. You would think at some point when they're using ground penetrating radar to make sure that you're not hitting anything you shouldn't be hitting, you might see something that looks oddly like a spaceship buried into the ground when you're trying to build a subway. Like, because if those spaceships were here,
what was the sound that your shovel just hit right there? Sounded like something metal. dig around it. Who cares?
Right? Just bore right through it. It's all good. It adds more questions that need answering. There are moments in the film that I thought were great. Like the whole getting to the ferry and trying to get off, out of the burrow. That scene was phenomenal. That scene had so much really, really cool, almost like the first Cloverfield kind of terror to it. Because of course it's focusing on everyone running away from the tripods. The sound design, that kind of noise whenever they show. That part was great, but I just could not get over 2 hours of running, screaming, a lot of screaming. Tom Cruise, like literally like completely and utterly on edge, like he's coked out for like 2 hours. Don't need it.
Exactly. The movie itself has a few good parts. And I think one of the things it does really well is this sense of hopelessness against this invasion. Whether they are in their tripods and they're looking up, it seems like 30 feet, 40 feet at this massive thing and there's no way to attack it. Or even in that scene in the basement where one alien is walking around. And almost like that scene from Jurassic Park with the kitchen scene where I forget who's hiding. I think it's the girls hiding in the basement. Maybe Tom Cruise is down there. But like they're trying to avoid this. But like even this one alien on its own feels like such a strong and like inevitable force that there's no way they can counteract it. So they just have to hide. I think the movie does that well. But yeah, the rest of it is blah. And I will say, I live in Southern California. And so sometimes we go to Universal Studios and they have that backlot tour, where you can go by the mechanical Jaws shark and go, oh, it's scary and stuff. But one of the things they have there is they actually have the plane that they wrecked for this film, where like it's like the plane that's like snapped in half and they filmed like, oh, we filmed here and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I get that you put out there when like the movie was fresh and new, or maybe you kept it around for the next couple of years, but it's still there. And I'm like, who cares about this anymore? Like, you guys have taken out other stuff that was cooler. Like the miniature sets they used for King Kong 2005, which was cooler because miniatures are always interesting. Or like you took out the Fast and Furious car thing I heard, which is kind of cool where they have the cars actually like on big hydraulic arms and you can control it. And it's like, it looks like a dangerous strip, but it's not. But yet you keep the just airplane that you cut in half and just spill trash everywhere. Like that's what you keep. Okay.
Also, listeners, if you have listened to our episode on Cocktail that was released recently, we talked about this, where Tom Cruise has occasionally been put into films where he plays someone who is just not a likable character. And
you mean all the time?
Yes. And then producers just hope that his Tom Cruise-ness will overcome that. And people were like, oh, sure, he's an asshole, but it's Tom Cruise. So he's less of an asshole because he's Tom Cruise. Like, Tom Cruise's character in Cocktail is not a good person by any stretch of the imagination. Same thing with here. Ray Ferrier is not a good person. His relationship with his kids is strained. He's running for his life. Didn't like abandon his kid at one point and go after the other one. Like, I get it's got to be a weird situation for the character, but they didn't exactly make Ray a likable character. So at this point, I'm like, please save the kids and let Ray be turned into blood fertilizer or whatever it was that the tripods did to the people.
I agree. It's just, this is the character that we're saddled with. He happens to be the vehicle that we're going on this journey with. And if you want to exit, there's the door right there.
Right. Exactly. All right, Greg, thank you so much for this. Now, before we go, please remind our listeners what your keep, watch, and pass picks are.
Sure. My keep pick was They Live, along with yours. Mm-hmm. My watch was No One Will Save You, available on Disney, apparently. And my pass was Cowboys and Aliens.
And for me, my keep was They Live, similar to yours. My watch was Battle Los Angeles, and my pass was War of the Worlds, the Tom Cruise version, not any of the other versions. Greg, before we go, please remind our listeners where they can find back episodes of Movie Date Night.
Yeah, you can find back episodes at Movie Date Night. We were on Facebook. I know it used to be Twitter. I guess it's called X. I don't know if it's still there or not because, you know, we have a baby now. You also could find us on Mortal Kombat, the old show we used to rank stuff like Disney villains and ice cream flavors, best fast food, stuff like that. I was the winner of best fast food, by the way, my only victory for that entire tournament series. And then also my personal favorite that I did with my friend David called Flops, FLAWPS, where we talked about weird laws and how they're stupid that they're still enacted, such as the one in which you cannot use elephants to plow your field in South Carolina.
That's a thing?
That's an actual thing. Oh, sorry. It's North Carolina, not South Carolina. South Carolina, apparently it's legal. But in North Carolina, it is against the books. It is actually in the books and illegal that you cannot use an elephant to plow your fields.
At some point.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, some guy's like, not going to tell me what to do. You know.
But at some point, because every time you come on, you have this fascinating new law that comes up. And at some point, we need to take a look at that list of laws and see if any
characters... Go listen to Flops, baby. It's all
movies.
There.
But seriously, go take a look at some of those laws and take a look at some of the characters in movies and see if those characters have broken any of those laws.
Okay, well, insider tip here. I used to also write in. I was kind of like an unofficial host on Flops, but also it's revealed on our last episode. I was the mysterious foreign flopper who would write in and do things. And so what I would do is I would write in as fictional characters breaking these laws.
Oh, God.
So in this case, I remember specifically I wrote in as Tarzan of the Apes in Tarzan dialect saying, me Tarzan, you David. Jane, take Tarzan up Carolina. Say no can use Tantor to plow fields, so use Burro and Duro instead.
There is, I guarantee you, there is a YouTube channel waiting to happen where you just go from city to city and state to state, break the laws and see what actually happens.
Just like, officer, I have you here. I'm going to do something. I want to see what your reaction is.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, dude, that should happen. Oh, dear God, I can see it now. All right, Greg, thank you so much. And to you, our listeners, thank you guys for listening to this episode. Now, you guys know the drill. If there is a topic that you want us to cover on Keep Watch Pass or a movie that you want us to cover on It's Not That Bad, hit us up on social media at Not That Bad Cast or go to our website at notthatbadcast.com. And while you're there, make sure you check out all of our other shows, including our Grading on a Curve specials, where you can hear the dulcet tones of Greg and listen to us try to struggle through a bunch of really, really, really bad films. Until next time, he's Greg, I'm Jay, you guys are awesome. This is Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Take care.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.